How many would say it's not how you start, it's how you finish? Come on. A few years, last year, it was May, we went to man camp. Who likes man camp? We're the men. Come on. Ladies, who's excited to send your husbands and your sons away to man camp? Any ladies? Ready for a girls' night? All right. Hey, by the way, our next one's coming up May 17th. You should register. It's such a great time. Last year we went and I took Titus and Tate and we slept in the tent. We had the best time. We get all the way over there and we're having a great time. And I don't know why, but AT&T, my cell phone provider, seems to only work in Portland area. The moment you start, anybody else experience this? Okay. All right, there you go. So as you're kind of going over the mountains and everything, I started noticing cell trouble. So I get there, and Commander Dave, praise the Lord, has Verizon. So I'm using him as my lifeline back to my wife. And so we're calling, and the first night goes pretty good. We go to bed. I say goodnight to her. The boys say goodnight to Mom. And we sleep great. I mean, there's nothing like sleeping out in nature. I mean, it's just amazing. So we're sound asleep. We sleep good. Wake up the next morning, and I go, my phone, because completely, there's like no battery left. No, I was like, no big deal. So I'm kind of out having breakfast, enjoying the beautiful, I have my quiet time with Jesus. I'm feeling the anointing, the presence of God. I mean, have you ever had one of those mornings where it's just like, so good. So I am in like, just perfect excitement, ready for the day. And I find Commander Dave a few minutes later, and I say, hey, Commander Dave, can I call my wife and just check in, make sure she's doing good, and tell her how much I love her, how great she is for letting us go. I've got all these thoughts in my head. And so I call my own. And husbands, you know the sound of your wife's voice when things aren't good on the other side. So I say, hey, how's it going? And she literally goes, you have no idea, do you? And I'm like, I have no idea. Turns out, I had accidentally forgotten to change the batteries in our alarm system in one of our sensors before I left. And so during the middle of the night, at about 12:30, 1 in the morning, guess what happens? The battery goes out and the alarm goes off. Sirens everywhere. Fortunately, Mael is not there. She's up north. She's preaching at another church. But guess what? The alarm company calls people. So they called me, who's disconnected. Then she's the second call. And they call her and they say, it's somebody breaking into your house. And where's Nate? With Jesus, just doing just great. Poor thing spent, I think, like 2 or 3 hours with the police trying to figure out if somebody had broke into our house. Just this whole catastrophe was happening at our house. Finally, they came and they left. They figured out nobody had broken in. But you know what? I felt right there the power of disconnection. Has anybody else felt the power of disconnection? How about in your relationships? When at one point in your relationship, things were going really well, and then something happens, and there's a disconnect. Maybe at work, you've had a really great boss, and things are going well, and pay's good, and then somebody says something, and you're like, ooh, that doesn't feel good. Can you feel the drift start to happen? The disconnects start to happen. How about with your kids, your spouse, your friends? And I dare say, how about this? How about with your relationship with the Lord? When was the last time you checked your connection with God? You see, today's message really is a check-in with you and your relationship with God, because the truth is, whether we want to admit it or not, you are either running with connection or disconnection. You really can't have both. There's nothing worse than having a conversation with somebody and the phone keeps checking out. It keeps breaking up. And finally, have you ever been talking to somebody and you're just blah, 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 and then you wait for them finally to respond and there's nothing? Right? And a lot of times, God is still speaking to us. It's just we've left. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And today, I want to take it an extra step further. Disconnection is not only a bummer or like a relationship like, oh, shoot. But I hope you lean in this morning, because if there's a disconnect in your relationship with God, there should be a warning light going off. Not just one that maybe the oil is a little low and I can ignore it for the next 1,000 miles. Not just a check engine light, but maybe there's smoke coming up. Maybe the tires are flat. And God is literally asking you to pull over and listen to these words, because you cannot continue living your life disconnected from God. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to go to John chapter 15, because Jesus uses a metaphor of a vine. And when he says this, it's so important that we lean in, because if you're not careful, what can happen is you could hear this message and think, oh, I'm doing okay. But I want you to lean in and think, am I connected to Jesus the way that I should be? Because if I'm not, the warning is actually pretty strong. And don't worry, it's not me trying to hype anything up. When you read this, you'd be like, oh, no. The connection that you need with your Heavenly Father is so vital, so vital. So I'm going to read it for you. John chapter 15, verse 1, it says this: I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off. Did you hear that? What does he do? Cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So did you catch that picture? Cut off and prune. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you, what? Remain in me. Code for connection. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. How much can you do? Nothing. 30%? It actually says nothing. Like absolutely nothing. Apart from God, we can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So how do we know that you're a disciple of Jesus? You're bearing much fruit. Lord, I pray right now for this message. This may feel heavy for some, but Lord, I pray that this would be like a holy warning for those that are sliding down a slippery slope towards disconnection. One choice here, one choice there, to the point where they don't even recognize what's wrong. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them, that you would touch them, and that you would fill them with your presence and your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My big idea this morning, if you're taking notes, is that you were designed for connection with God. You were absolutely designed for connection with God. You look back at the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and God. They were in there in perfect relationship. And guess what happens? Men sinned. She ate the fruit first, handed it over to him. Guess what? They broke the connection, and right there, we see a severed connection. And from that point forward, the Bible, when you read it, it's all about Jesus, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit, God in one, three in one, rescuing you and me. He wants connection with you and me. And my question for you is, do you have connection with Him? I don't know about you, but one of my favorite things is to get new clothes. Raise your hand if you like new clothes. Really? The rest of you don't like new clothes? Okay, well, that's interesting. How many of you like getting old clothes? How many just like clothes? Let's all raise our hands. Okay, just seeing what we're going to pray for later. But you know what's interesting? The other day, someone gave us some clothes, and I went to go put some clothes on my hangers and then go put them in my closet, and I had a problem. You ever had this problem? No more hangers. My closet is completely squished and, you know, like the whole thing's like bending. And so I had an option. Either I get rid of some clothes or I go buy new hangers. Okay, which one do you think I did? Buy new hangers? Who said get rid of some clothes? Nobody? Yes, I bought new hangers. Jeez. Now my wife, on the other hand, she's amazing. She gets some clothes and then I kind of get nervous every time she says, I got new clothes, because that means I've got a Goodwill run coming. Because she'll just start taking bags and bags and clothes, and she just puts it out and says, okay, take it to Goodwill. I'm like, man, oh man, I've got to learn from you. Because here's the thing. We are a consuming nation, aren't we? America has gotten really good at saying, I want more, I want it now, I want it faster, I want it cheaper, but expensive, on sale. I want more, 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 more. And God is looking at you and me and saying, everything in your life that you're trying to fill your life with will not replace or give you the connection that your heart really longs for. And so what He's saying is, you've got to start deciding what needs to be pruned out of your life so that you can have more of God. Because the truth is, pruning's coming whether you like it or not. What did He say? If you're not with me, you're going to be pruned, cut off, and thrown away. If you are bearing fruit, guess what? You get pruned too. We all get pruned. One is to be thrown away in the fire and burned, and one is so that you will bear more fruit. In other words, the reward for doing well and doing what God's called you to do is more responsibility. But I just want to tell you right now, pruning's coming. Do you know the three main stressors in life are, one is death, number two is divorce, and number three is moving. I know, right? Moving. I was surprised by that one. Death, divorce, moving. And just as a little side note, as your pastor, one of the most important things that I think I can do is try to equip you to be ready when things like that happen in your life. In fact, we have a seminar coming up. Ron Stokes. Ron, wave your hand real quick. Ron. Okay, give it up for Ron. He's our senior pastor. We love Ron. And it's a peace of mind workshop this Thursday. And I would encourage, if both of you can't come or just one of you, I would really encourage you to come. It will help you be ready, because here's what I want you to know. It's tax season, so I'm like, oh no. Death and taxes, two things you can guarantee are coming. But pruning's coming. And the question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Because here's the thing. If you're connected to Jesus, guess what? He's going to prune you. Why? And I want to show you a picture of a tree. So that you will bear fruit. Bear fruit. But the problem that you and I have is that whenever we hear the word pruning, we think of negative. We think of like downsizing, sad. Like, I don't know about you, but if a boss came in, or a coworker, or the board came to me and said, hey, guess what? We're going to downsize everything. Do you think everybody's going to be like, yeah! What happens when that happens? Oh. Everybody's afraid, right? Because downsizing, we're not excited about. But I want to flip the script on that a little bit for us. Because I don't think pruning is actually bad. The first thing I want you to write down is pruning is not bad. It's necessary. It's necessary. Because if left to our own, we'll always add more. But what we don't realize is that we're actually not being fruitful with what God's called us to be. You will never bear much fruit if you're weighed down with the cares of this life. Just like the ancient rappers of old, more money, more problems. People think that that will solve their life, solve all the problems of their life, is I'll just get that next thing, that next relationship, that next job, that next city, that next church. And I hate to say this to you, your problems go with you. Everywhere you are, there you are. So what am I trying to say? Allow the Holy Spirit to prune some things in your life. Let him do it, because so many of us are like, no. But pruning is necessary. I would not be in this job today if he did not prune the job that he had for me yesterday. And the job before that. And the job before that. This is not my third job. I'm 41. I don't even know how many jobs I've had. But I know it took a step every single way to get to the place that I'm at. And the same is true for you. So why do we resist it? Because we can't see what's on the other side. It means that we have to have faith. It means we have to trust that even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it. Even if I don't hear it. Come on, some of you you're not catching on. He's working. He's working. He's working. Do you trust God's working? I want to teach you a Greek word. And that word for prune is kathairo. Say kathairo. Oh, come on, with some power. Kathairo. Kathairo. And here's what it means. That word prune, it means make clean, cleanse, prune, clear, unproductive wood. Now, I want you to hear this. When Jesus is talking about pruning something, he's actually talking about purifying. One of the most scary things I hear from a lot of people is they say, like, just for example, we'll take movies. And they'll say things like that. Oh, hey, this movie, phenomenal. The acting, oh, so good. And then I'll say, should I go see it? Well, Pastor, I don't know if you can handle it, but I can. Did you hear that? Do you think there's anything different between you and me? What we don't see is that if we don't feel,
something's still going on with our sound.
Change the batteries. Action. There we go. Connection. I don't think it's batteries. I want you to hear this. I love how you're leaning and everyone's paying attention. I don't know if it's just all the distractions just focusing you back in or what. But I think the Holy Spirit's hitting you right now. Because here's the danger. Think about it. Just think for a second. If it doesn't bother you, that means you don't feel it. If you don't feel it, that means there's no life. It means you're not connected. It means it can snap off easily. And we're so proud. Oh, it didn't bother me. I only had two nightmares last night. And yet we have to recognize God's called you for something so much more. To be connected. To be filled with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You can't expect to bear fruit if you're not connected to the vine. Which means sometimes we got to prune some things away. Pruning is not bad. It's actually necessary. I love how John Maxwell puts it. He says, learn to say no to the good so you can say yes to the best. Learn to say no to the good so you can say yes to the best. It's so simple. Most of us would hear would agree, I should read my Bible more. How many thinks they should read their Bible maybe a little more? Okay. How many think they could pray a little more? Okay. How many want to go see a movie tonight? Okay, never mind. The more I evaluate my life, the more I realize the things that I long for the most, it's going to cost me to say no to something else. In fact, we say this, I love, Mael came up with this. My best yes to Jesus means I'm saying no to something else. I can't say yes and no at the same time to Jesus. It doesn't work like that. I've got to say yes. My best yes is Jesus. The second thing, this is the next warning, number two. Pruning will help you grow or make you go. Pruning will make you, will help you grow or make you go. I'm going to explain that in a moment, but I want to read the verse just to help us get the context. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Pruning will either help you grow or make you go. And this is what I mean by that statement. There was a book written by John Bevere called The Offended Spirit. And one of the greatest tools of the enemy is to get you offended. He'll get you offended with lots of different things. The people sitting next to you, the smells sitting next to you, the pastor up front, the sound, the quality, whatever it could be, the seats. Oh, they got the cushion seats. I got the plastic seats. What about me and the bleachers? Hello, bleachers. We love you. The enemy is always trying to get somebody offended. But here's what I know. God will use other people to point out an idol in your life. Is it pride? Is it the praise of man? Is it the fact that I don't have the right car, the right house, the right relationship? The enemy will use anything he can to get you to be offended. And if God says, no, I want to prune you so that you'll bear fruit, what ends up happening is many people, they say, you know what? That means too much to me. I'm out. I'm out. We were youth, my parents were youth pastors in a little town in Washington called Cooley City, Washington, way up north, almost to Canada. And there was a lady there that had served in the kids' ministry for many, many years. And we were down golfing, and she was working at the pro shop there, and she was in her mid-60s. And we went up to her, and my dad recognized her right away and said, hey, how you doing? And she's like, oh, hey. And my dad asked her, said, how's the church going? And instantly her smile turned to a frown. And she said, I wouldn't know. And my dad was like, why wouldn't you know? I haven't been there in 12 years. And my dad was like, whoa, where you been? He goes, well, where you been? Kind of like a joke. And she was like, I don't go to church anymore. I said, really? Well, you were in church for like 30 years. You were serving. You were doing everything for God. You were doing amazing. What happened? Well, my son got sick and not one pastor called us. And I'll never go to church again. They don't care about me. That's all it took. That's all it took. That's all it takes. Satan just wants you to get offended, and that's it. I'm done, not used by God. And I guarantee you the pastors, because we know who they were, they had no idea their son was even sick. Of course they would have called. Of course they did. No idea. But even if they did, even if they didn't go visit, is that any reason to never step foot in church again? Is that any reason to stop serving? Is that any reason to stop bearing fruit in the kingdom of God? You see, some of you here, you have been through life. People have let you down. I want to read this scripture to you, Proverbs 14:4. It says, where there are no oxen, the manger is empty, but from the strength of an ox come abundant harvests. You're like, what in the world does that mean, Pastor Nate? It means that if you don't have an ox, you have a clean manger. Everything's easy, it's clean. But you're not going to have a harvest. But if you get some big ox, it's going to smell. It's going to stink. You're going to have to scoop some poop up once in a while. But you're going to have a harvest. And I want you to look around. I'm not calling you an ox, but I'm saying you're big people in Jesus Christ. But yes, you're a person. Yes, you're here to bear fruit. Yes, you're here. You're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes, but we're going to have grace for each other. We're going to have love for each other. Why? Because we are called by God to produce a harvest. Amen? So we've got to stop pretending. Stop pretending that we've got it all figured out. Does it mean that we live like a mess? Of course not. We clean the stalls. We clean the mess. That's called pastoring. That's called loving people. That's called going on the journey with each other. But I want to encourage some of you right now. Maybe you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I may have not said it. I still attend church, but I've been on the sidelines because someone hurt me. And I'm not leaning in. Today's your day. Amen. And it's not about working harder. It's just about connecting to the vine. Because here's the thing, you can hear a message like this, like, oh, I'm just going to jump in and start serving. No, that's a recipe for a disaster. You don't bear fruit by working harder, you bear fruit by being more connected to Jesus. Good. It means going back to Him. Because the truth is, if you don't deal with the hurt, you'll hurt other people. Because what's going to happen, you're going to start serving, you're like, well, let me tell you, I used to serve here for like 25 years, and that person that doesn't even go here anymore, you never heard of them, they were mean to me. And I said, I'm not serving here no more, but that bald pastor said I should, so I'm back. Let me just tell you how bad this place is. Hello? We carry the stench wherever we go. But when we get in the vine, hello, you produce fruit just by being with Jesus. We're going to two services. People are like, you're crazy. You don't have a sanctuary. You're in a gym. People have already said you're not going to grow. And I said, no way, we're growing. We're going to keep building the kingdom. A flood can't stop us. It sure didn't stop Noah from getting in a boat. God's plans often look like disasters, but they actually are set up for Him to do something great in your life. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Third point, final point. Pruning is God's job. Remaining is ours. Would you give it up for my son Titus? He's got something for us. We live in a world that loves to posture. That loves to show you the best, but not the real. And right here I have a branch that's filled with fruit. Can you see this fruit online, everybody out here? This is what I call the social media Christian. Have you ever seen this person? They have their Bible perfectly with the coffee, a pen, and they're just like this and praying, and they forgot to leave the part out where they cussed out their family member the minute before. And they say, glory! And I'm here to tell you, this thing's severed. This thing's been cut off. It's gonna die. It's gonna wither. No matter how much fruit you tape to a fake tree, a dead tree, it's still gonna die. And my call to every single person here is stop faking it. Connect to Jesus. Stop posturing it. Connect to Jesus. Stop telling people how you've got it all figured out. Connect to Jesus. Why? Because you're supposed to bear a lot of fruit, but real fruit. Here's how you know it's fake. Tomatoes, prunes. I don't even know what that is. And an apple. The Bible says you'll be thrown away to the fire. I can look at this stick all I want. Hear my voice. Listen. I can look at this and get angry. Grow! Bear fruit! God, why won't you use me? And all he's saying is, you got to connect with me. Abide in me, and then you will bear much fruit. Look what the verse says. Verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're designed to bear fruit. You were designed for connection with God. And I want you to hear me closely. If you're not bearing fruit, you've got to ask the question, why? And what is fruit, Pastor Nate? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did you hear that it said fruit, not fruits? In other words, all of those things should be in your life. Are any of those missing in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If they're not there, this is what you look like. The warning is you'll be pruned. The warning is it'll be thrown away. And I see a lot of Christians who love to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. I can prophesy. I've got a word. But then they live like the devil. Then I've got other people over here that are full of, that should be full of fruit, but they have no idea that they've got, that the Holy Spirit has power for them too. It should be both. That's what abundance looked like. So Jesus, in this story, he's 48 hours before he's going to go to the cross. That's what this last part is. And he says this to his disciples in John 16, 7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Who's the advocate? The Holy Spirit. So check this out. Jesus saying, it's better that I go so that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will dwell inside of you. Why? So that you'll bear much fruit. The part that got me the most in preparing this message, the Holy Spirit started convicting me and he said, Nate, where are you taking credit for things that you think you did on your own? Or where are you trying to do it on your own? Apart from me, I can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. If I could have everybody stand with me just for a moment. If you're here this morning and you're listening to this message, and you're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I just want you to lean in. Don't lean out, lean in. Maybe you're here this morning, and what we're going to do just for a moment is we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to restore connection. Restore connection. Maybe you're here and you say, man, Pastor Nate, I can see my life that I'm not connected with you. I'm not connected to you. You're the vine. I'm the branches. I want to connect with you. But here's the truth. There's something that needs to be pruned. There's something that needs to be put away. There's something in your life that you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to remove. If that's you this morning, and you're like, man, Pastor Nate, that's me. I got to set some things aside. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to get any information other than this. The worship team is going to start leading us in this song. And what I want you to do is to abide. I want you to abide in Jesus.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ. So if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes, and we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.